that is set before us. We are to run in such a way as to get the prize. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, compares us to a builder who builds his house on the rock. But the Apostle Paul says that we're like the building itself, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Jesus also compares us to little children. As little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Apostle Peter adds to this in the scripture that Kelly read for us this morning, as he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So when it comes to our dependence on God, when it comes to our desire for the truth, we're to be like babies. But when it comes to our spiritual maturity, we're not to be like babies. We are to grow and develop in our faith. We are to leave childish things behind us. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we read this. And this comes in the middle of a section of Scripture where the author of Hebrews is talking about the deeper things of Christ. And he's comparing Jesus to an Old Testament figure named Melchizedek. You might remember him. We talked about him. He's trying to tell them the deeper things about Melchizedek, but he's frustrated because he can't. And he says about Melchizedek, he says, of whom we have many things. You are dull of hearing. For when by the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what he's saying is, you all have been Christians long enough, you should be sitting down to a steak dinner. But I can't feed you a steak dinner. I've got to give you a bottle in your faith. And as Kelly told us this morning, we all begin as newborns. Even Claude was a babe in Christ at some point. But we're not. And so this morning, I want to reintroduce you to some old friends from your childhood. Perhaps as little children. About the one that begins, beans, the classics. Curious characters. And these characters teach us some very, teach us about faith. Because they give us some examples that we should not follow. And I want to begin this morning with little boy Blue. How many of you remember little boy Blue? Well, let's see. Little boy Blue, come what? Blow your horn. Okay, very good. You're all with me here. The sheep's in the meadow, the cows in the... You see, all you're farmers. You understand how this works. Where is the boy that looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack. Will you wake him? No, not I. For if I do, he'll... Yeah. You see, little boy Blue, he had a job to do, didn't he? But did he do his job? No. In fact, where do we find him? He is sound asleep in the haystack. And the sheep and the cows, they're all in the wrong place. And we can't even go wake the boy up because we might hurt his poor little feelings. Now, there's certainly a lesson here about irresponsibility and not resting before the work is done. In fact, it reminds me of a kid I went to Bible college with. We were both working in maintenance, and I cleaned one building, and he cleaned another building, and I was sent over to find him. I don't know, I was to tell him something or get something from him. I don't remember which. And I looked all through the dorm. Couldn't find him. I went down to the supply room. Couldn't find him. I looked again. Couldn't find him. And finally, I was down in the supply room, and I heard a noise. It was one of those old Sony Walkman cassette players. And here's what was going on. The boxes of supplies, he had built himself a little cubicle and walled himself in, and he was taking a nap, listening to his music on his Walkman when he should have been working, pulling a little boy Blue there. But there's a faith lesson here, because you see, there are little boy Blue Christians. They have a job to do, And God has called them to service in his kingdom. Every single one of us has been gifted. We've been given spiritual gifts. And what that means basically is this, that we have been equipped and enabled by the Holy Spirit to build up the body of Christ. But when there's kingdom work to be done with little boy blue Christians, you can never find them because they're hiding under a haystack somewhere. Little boy blue Christians have a job to do, but they find a haystack instead. And they go and bury themselves in these haystacks. And what haystacks am I talking about? Well, the haystack of family, of sports, of friends, of career, of education, and these sorts of things. And they don't use their God-given gifts to build up the kingdom because they're buried in these various haystacks of activity. And these things aren't bad. No, in fact, they're excellent. They're praiseworthy in their proper places. But we neglect our calling. We squander our gifts when we take these things and we move them up to the place of most importance. We make idols out of them. For instance, family is important. Family is to be pursued and defended even as the second most important thing in your life. But when you take family and you put it before Jesus and you put it before his kingdom, then we're hiding from what God calls us to. Our jobs are essential. Without them, we couldn't support our families. We couldn't support the kingdom. But when we put them before God's kingdom, then we become little boy blue Christians. And the same is true of all of these other haystacks that we lose ourselves in. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these haystacks shall be added unto you. But so often we go about it the wrong way. We go pursue the haystacks first. And we forget the thing that God has called us to seek first. We might not think that busying ourselves with all of these other activities is the same thing as little boy blue sleeping on the job. But the Apostle Paul thinks differently. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he tells us that the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And if we're not prepared, he says, darkness will come upon us suddenly. And all of these people who will be caught unprepared on the day of the Lord, they're all going to be busy with other things. They're going to be busy with their careers. They're going to be busy pursuing dreams. They're going to be busy falling in and out of love. But do you know how Paul describes them? He says they're sleeping. He says they're asleep. Because spiritually they are asleep. They're asleep to the reality of what's going on around them. They're asleep to the reality of what's coming. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, here's what Paul says. Therefore, let us, those of us who are in Christ, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So he's saying, follower of Christ, don't be asleep to the reality of what's going on in the world around you. Don't be asleep to the reality of what's coming. We need to be ready. We need to be working. Let us not be little boy blue Christians. Now our second nursery rhyme is probably one of the most well-known of all time, Jack and Jill. You remember these two, don't you? Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down, broke his crown. Jill came tumbling after. Now, did you know in the 1800s there was a booklet published with 15 stanzas of this nursery rhyme? Now, don't worry, we're not going through all 15 this morning. We're just going to do the first. But what happened with Jack and Jill? Now, just like little boy blue, They had a job to do, didn't they? They were to fetch a pail of water. Now, we're not told whose bright idea it was to put the well or the water pump on top of a hill. That doesn't sound like a piece of engineering genius to me. But that doesn't really matter because that's where they had to go. And unlike little boy Blue, they didn't shirk their responsibility, did they? They didn't go and hide. They didn't run from the job they were called to. No, they ran toward it. In fact, the way that my grandfather learned this nursery rhyme and the way he told it, it went like this. Jack and Jill ran up the hill. They ran up the hill. They weren't careful. Maybe they were just goofing off. Maybe as children are wont to do, they just weren't paying attention to what they were doing. And so Jack slipped and fell, cracks his head open, and setting a bad example for his sister, she falls too. Or maybe he falls down and just he took her with him. That's when the sister says, "Wasn't my fault, he did it." And again, there are obvious lessons here for young ones. When you have a job to do, do it carefully. Because if you don't, you might get yourself hurt and you might hurt others too. This is sort of the nursery rhyme version of safety first. But there's also a spiritual analogy here because there are Jack and Jill Christians. And Jack and Jill Christians have great ambition. But they stumble for a lack of caution. They don't shirk their responsibility. Instead, Jack and Jill Christians, they dive in head first. They take off like a bolt of lightning. But they don't always think things through. They don't plan their steps carefully. And this can take several different shapes. Some Jack and Jill Christians, maybe they just take on too much. They're not paying attention to what God has called them to do, and they try to do everything. And they volunteer for this ministry, and they start that program, and they do this thing, and it's too much. And they lose focus on what God has called them to do, and they just get burned out. And these are the people that later on just say, "I'm done with it all." Other Jack and Jill Christians get so focused on the work, and get so focused on the job to be done, they forget about the people involved. And so in their rush to get the work done, they run roughshod over the thoughts and feelings of others. And the other trap we fall into as Jack and Jill Christians is we think we can just do it all on our own. If I just work hard enough and I try hard enough, I can get the job done. And so we try to do it all on our own, without seeking the wisdom of God, without seeking the strength of God. And so with Jack and Jill Christians, there are projects and ministries started, but they're never finished. There's a series of wounded hearts that lie in their wake, and they so often miss out on the joy of the Lord because they didn't do God's work God's way with God's supply. And just like Jack, they end up broken and hurt. And so often they hurt others too, like Jack did with Jill. You see, as Christians, it takes more than enthusiasm and gusto. And excitement's a good thing. We need enthusiasm. But it also takes spiritual depth and wisdom. It takes prayer and dependence on God. An eager ambition that isn't rooted in spiritual depth will always lead to you stumbling and falling. Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." A few weeks ago, we were in the parable of the soils in Matthew 13. So I won't spend a lot of time on this, just to remind you. But if you remember, in that parable, some of the seed fell on stony ground. And there the seed quickly springs up, we're told. But since there is so little depth of soil, the sun comes up, and that which so quickly sprang up withers away. because there's no depth. And I think that's the story of Jack and Jill Christians. And unless we want to be Jack and Jill Christians, not only must we go forward to get the work done, but we've got to go deeper in our relationship with God. Remember that the Christian life is a journey from earth to heaven. And this journey is a marathon, not a sprint. It is a cross-country race, not a 50-yard dash. And if you've ever been involved in track or cross-country or you got some kids that are, you'll know that the kid that the runner that burst out to an early lead is often not the guy that wins the race. Isn't that right? And we've got to be running the race in such a way is that we're still running at the end. Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," to those who finish the race, not to those who burst out to a great early start. We need to be running at the end. Our last nursery rhyme character is my favorite from my childhood, Humpty Dumpty. I had a little picture book, and I can still remember all the little pictures in my book, even though I haven't seen that book since I was probably 4 years old. But in my picture book, and in the earliest depictions of Humpty Dumpty that we know of, Humpty Dumpty was what? What was he? An egg. That's right. Humpty Dumpty was this egg, even though the rhyme never says he is. But we know how it goes. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Now, you know those aren't the original words? A little bit of historical trivia for you this morning. The oldest known version goes back to 1797. It goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. 40 men and 40 more could not make Humpty Dumpty where he was before. Don't think it changes the meaning. But Humpty Dumpty's problem was he didn't go all the way. Obviously, he didn't want to stay where he was. That's why he climbed the wall to begin with. But he never got to where he was going because he simply sat on the wall. And you know what? You can't expect good things to happen when you sit on the fence. This is the story of so many Humpty Dumpty Christians. Humpty Dumpty Christians haven't gone all the way, but they stay on the fence. They don't want to remain in the world, but they don't want to commit fully to the kingdom either. And they think that by sitting on the fence, that they can have the best of both worlds. You see, they want to enjoy the ways of the world, but they want to have the promises of God at the same time. And unable to leave the world behind, they don't seek first the kingdom of God. And so every Sunday, churches are filled with Humpty Dumpty Christians, and they are on the fence, looking at the promises of God and enjoying some of what the kingdom has to offer. And they want to get close enough to enjoy its blessings, but they want to keep the world close enough at hand because they want to sin on Saturday and worship on Sunday. But Humpty Dumpty Christians cannot remain on the fence forever. And falling off, as we'll see in just a moment, is the least of your worries. But you can't stay up on the fence. Jesus warned us that we cannot serve two masters. He says that we'll end up loving one and hating the other. And the perfect example of this is the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They tried to be the Old Testament, or they tried to be the Humpty Dumpty people of God. They wanted the promised land and all of the blessings that went with being God's chosen people. But they also wanted the idols of Egypt and all of the people around them. And they couldn't leave that behind. And after generations of sitting on the fence and going back and forth, God finally pushed them off the wall. They didn't just fall down. God shoved them off. Sends them into exile. Says, you're not my people anymore. And we see the same thing in the church. And this is why Jesus warns the church of Laodicea. In the book of Revelation, there are seven letters to seven churches. And the seventh church is Laodicea. And I think the reason these seven letters are included in the Bible is because these aren't warnings just to the church of Ephesus or Smyrna or Laodicea. They're warnings to all churches and all Christians of all time. And so he's warning not only the Humpty Dumpty church of Laodicea, but the Humpty Dumpty churches and Christians of all time. In Revelation 3, verse 16, he says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I am very thankful for our newer translations today. One of the biggest challenges I had with this sermon was reading some of these texts in the King James without tripping over my own tongue. But there are times the King James is so poetic and picturesque in the way it says something. And this is one of those verses. This picture of Jesus spewing out of his mouth is poetic and disgusting all at the same time. I mean, spew. We're not talking about a little, you know, spit up. That throw up that goes halfway up the throat, stops and goes back down. No, this is projectile vomit here, okay? That's spewing. And Jesus is saying, you Humpty Dumpty Christians, I'm going to throw you up. You make me sick. You can't stay up on that fence. You can't sit down on that wall. I'm going to shove you off of there. Falling off the wall is the least of your problems. So we as Christians must not remain on the fence. Make today the day that you climb down off of the fence and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make today the day that you follow Him fully. Because you know what? There is nothing in the world that's worth hanging on to. The world has nothing to offer you except for empty lies and hollow promises. Those things that we think we're going to hang on to by sitting on the fence, they're not real. Oh, there's the promise of fun, but it becomes only futility. There's the promise of pleasure, but it becomes only the pale reflection of something that once felt good. There's the promise of wealth that only becomes the weight of what we might lose. And there's the promise of popularity that only becomes the unrelenting pressure to perform and to conform. Your Heavenly Father is good. I know we sing a lot of old hymns today, but there's a new song, Good, Good Father. He's a good Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And your Heavenly Father doesn't want to keep anything good from you. And all good things of creation are yours in Christ Jesus. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these things will be added unto you. None of them will be held back. None of them will be kept from you. They're all yours in Christ. Your Heavenly Father keeps nothing good from you. So leave those hollow, empty promises of the world behind. Come down off of the fence and be His. When He calls you, go all the way. And if He's calling you today, today's the day to go all in. Don't just climb the fence and then sit down. Follow Him fully. Come down off the fence this morning and be His. Be truly His and His alone. He is calling you today. He is calling you to follow Him. He is calling you to come down off of the fence. He is calling you to come out from under that haystack you've been trying to lose yourself in. He's calling you to get back up after you have fallen down the hill. He's calling you to get back up and to follow Him. He's calling you home. He's calling you to the place you truly belong. And if you've already fallen off of the wall, if you've stumbled down the hill, He's the only one who can put you back together again. All the king's horses can't do it. All the world tries. All the king's men can't do it. There's not a drug, there's not a counselor, there's not a psychiatrist that can make you whole again. No, not the king's horses, not the king's men, but only the King of Kings can put you together again. Jesus is calling. Will you come home? Our praise team is going to come up and lead us in a song of invitation and commitment. And we're going to sing this song softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. O sinner, come home. Is that you today? We may have done things old school today. We may have gone in the way back machine and did things like they did 50, 60 years ago. But this invitation I'm giving you right now, it is brand new as today's news. This isn't something I'm doing just for nostalgia, just for old time's sake. But this is a genuine invitation for you right now, right here today. Jesus is calling you. Will you come off the fence? Will you make Him the Lord of your life? Maybe you're looking for a church home. We'd love to have you here at Sunrise. Be a part of what we're doing here. Be standing as we sing this song of invitation today. Jesus is calling, come home.